The hardest decision I've made in life, I'd say, but, you know, one that I thought I handled well.
Guys that come in, they feel what we felt last year. They buy into it, they subscribe to it because it was genuine.
I would hate to see free kicks like that decide a final or a big game because, to me, that's not AFL football.
To go through a whole season without a pre-season is bloody hard work, so I need to get the work in.
I went into hospital just thinking I was going to get some antibiotics and 10 minutes later I was under the knife. It all got done in two-hour parking, though.
Your ticket into the heart of football. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
And it's always good on a Wednesday when Taylor Adams from the Magpies joins us to discuss the world of footy from his perspective. He's back again today. Good morning, Tay.
Morning, Half. I am back, mate. Looking forward to it.
Now, are you back? When are you back?
Yeah, I am. I've been ticked off. I've got to get through training today. And if that happens, I'll play this Friday.
So this was last time we spoke to you when it was fresh.
Two weeks ago.
You were pretty bullish about it.
I feel
it.
Like a hypochondriac, really.
Well, I didn't want to say that. But we were talking 6 weeks, so it was on the discussion cards. What's happened? How have you done this?
12-round fitness has got me back in great shape.
Oh, yes.
Now, hang on. Park the injury for a second.
Yeah.
We'll get back to that. Because Channel 9 News came to visit you at 12 Round Fitness Port Melbourne last night.
Yes.
And you were putting on a clinic, punching a bag in the overlay footage.
Yeah, a few rips and hooks.
I thought we were on the television shopping channel, but it was Channel 9 News.
It was a great morning piece. It's a nice little piece on 12 Round Fitness in Port Melbourne with Taylor's involved. And it's just opened.
Just opened. Yeah, we've been running for probably 3 or 4 weeks now. But... yeah, it's going awesome. It's been something to distract me and away from footy. So we're absolutely loving, obviously, in business with Levi Greenwood, Murray Lees and Tiffany Cook, who are our brains trust behind the business. And Levi and I are just the shit kickers. we're absolutely loving it.
The boxing fitness equivalents of the dish pigs.
That's it.
That's you. Right.
That's us.
But you're getting the promotion, good business.
It's going really well. As I said, we're absolutely loving it.
You've been busy?
We've been really busy, yeah. We've been flat out. We're learning heaps on the job. The both of us, Levi and I, working in tandem and, absolutely loving being involved in the real world, as they say.
The real world, yes. Mm.
If you just say you were on sort of some sort of fitness campaign or health
regime. Hypothetically.
Call it a regime, if you will.
Hypothetically. Ask them for a friend.
What are the best exercises or whatever you want to call it, disciplines in a 12-round fitness?
Well, obviously the name gives it away that we are heavily focused on boxing.
Yeah, but it's not just boxing.
No, it's not. There's strength conditioning elements to all of our workouts. So 6 stations of the 12 are boxing.
Okay.
The other 6 are strength and conditioning based around building muscle and losing fat. So we're actually in the middle of our 6-week training camp at the moment, which is basically where members get a body scan at the start of their 6 weeks and train really hard for the 6 weeks. All the training's based around science, and at the end of the 6 weeks, they rescan. We hope to see some really, really positive results from that. So they absolutely love that. Obviously, it's something that we as footballers get to do all the time, skin folds and DEXA scans and that sort of thing. So it sort of gives them an insight to, I guess, a professional athlete's life.
So you have to do 12 rounds?
No, you can do 24 if you want. I wouldn't recommend doing any less.
So you can't do 4, for example.
You can, but if you come down, you won't be. You'll be doing 12.
12 is, 12 is the goal.
Why would you want to do 4?
No, you can.
I'm asking.
It's not easy with 12. If you push yourself, it's a big workout. It's a big workout.
No, I'm just asking whether it's like, you know, I'm just trying to think of the example. Like you just go to a checklist and I'll do that one, that one, that one, and that one.
Yeah,
but now you've got to do all 12.
You don't have to. You can actually work out for as long as you like. That's the beauty of it. But we recommend doing the full 12.
Well, actually, you don't have to do any. It's not compulsory, Whitey.
No,
but if you're going to go to the 12,
just asking the question. Just asking the question. Just for those that might be interested.
Last night with our man Tay. If you want some advice on how to punch the bag and how to rip it. Now, I think he's the man to be talking to who's having some good rips last night into the bag. So good luck. Can't see Tay at Port Melbourne 12 round if you're into that sort of thing. Tay, just getting back to your injury, the recovery has been remarkable. Has there been a secret to it, or is it just you're a good healer?
No, not really. I guess when we first when the injury first happened, obviously it was a torn tendon off my bone in my groin.
You came here in a wheelchair and a groin relocation at one stage.
Well,
it's unbelievable.
I'm probably really lucky in the sense that most tendons have to be reattached to the bone, like a hammy tendon or anything like that, Achilles. For me, it was, or for this injury, it was let it heal for 4 or 5 days. The scar tissue connects it back to the muscle in your adductor.
Does it by itself?
By itself.
Wow.
Amazing in the human body. And then from that point on, you can basically do as much exercise as your body can handle. So the pain threshold, obviously without going overboard and compromising other parts of that area. But I felt really good from about 5 days after the injury. And we've just slowly built up and got to a point on Saturday where I was basically running completely pain-free, changing direction at high intensity, running max speeds. And I got a call from our head of fitness on Saturday night. He said, "I'm going to test you this week. You look so good this on Saturday." So ticked off a big session on Monday morning, which was based around my change direction and high intensity stuff, which is obviously the risk. And if I train today and get through, I'll play.
That is quite remarkable, really. From what we thought it was going to be when it happened, and as you said, is it detached from the bone, the tendon? This isn't a small thing.
No.
But the fact that A, it heals itself, I'm blown away by.
Yeah.
But B, you're back so quickly pain-free. I mean, that's quite remarkable. I would think you're quite lucky.
Oh, no, I definitely feel really lucky. Obviously, we're putting the power of work just to make sure that it knits properly and, I'm not going to cause any more damage to that region. But, no, I actually can't believe it's been...
Yeah.
2.5 weeks since the injury, and I'm ready to play.
Does it feel different having snapped a tendon in the past and Achilles? I know it's very different to what you've done, but is it moving differently, or is it you just can't really tell any difference at all and you're just away?
Not really. I think because there's so many muscles in that area, they just take over and sort of pick up the slack of what the tendon leaves. So I feel pretty normal, and I felt relatively normal 5 days post the injury. So it's just one of those weird ones. I've had plenty of conversations like this to people, and they're just looking at me like they've seen a ghost. They can't believe what I'm saying, but that's reality. And once we move past this, I'm focused on obviously the game on Friday night now, and making sure I put in a good performance.
Well, it's a big game. When I was there on the weekend watching the St Kilda game, what did the team learn from the St Kilda game?
Yeah, that was
it was tight.
Yeah, it was a gutsy win. We knew that it was going to be close for long parts of that game. Excuse me. They're playing some really, really good footy, defending as well as just about any team in the competition, and they've improved across the board from what they were producing last year. So, their pressure on us was huge. We didn't handle the pressure really well in the first half, and probably bought into their pressure by high handball numbers. And then once we started getting the ball forward in the second half, we gave our forwards a chance. And as you can see in the weekend, they just bob up and kick goals. Reedy kicked a couple, Checkers, Joshy Thomas, Steve-O. So they're all really dangerous down there. And we learnt that we can grind out for four quarters and it doesn't have to be a pretty win. Obviously, that fourth quarter was pretty impressive. But we've always been that sort of team that thinks that we're a four-quarter team. We like to challenge teams to go with us for four quarters, and that's what we did on the weekend.
You must have great confidence in your system. I was blown away by the way you played that last quarter again, your boys. You did it the week before against Collingwood, kicked 7, I think, in the last quarter. You kicked 6 on the weekend against St Kilda and put the game beyond doubt within the first 5 minutes of that last quarter. You've done that time and time again. You've done it at the start of games, like we did against Port Adelaide that Friday night at Marvel, where you kicked 150 goals in the first 10 minutes. And then you've finished off games really strongly. Is that a... flick of the switch, do you change gears? Is there a trigger for it, or is it just something you're able to do?
I wish it was a flick of the switch. It's not. It's really, really basic. We go back to our key principles and play the footy that we know works. And it's our game style is really simple. I've said this before. It's really, really basic. But if you do it really well and really effectively, it can be a brand of footy that's hard to match up against. And as I said before, the aspect of grinding out a four-quarter performance is something that we pride ourselves on, and we think that we're hard to beat once when we do that.
So it's not a change of mode of play. We hear teams talk about modes. We hold the game up for a little bit, then we'll accelerate, then we'll try and defend or whatever.
Yeah, no, we didn't really do that on the weekend. It wasn't, that wasn't the message at halftime. The message at halftime was basically get the ball forward a little bit more.
Yeah.
But it was, we come back to what we do really well on contested ball, clean hands, and our pressure ramped up in that third and fourth quarter, and the Saints couldn't go with us.
Because I think it's an interesting question that half brings up, because you see what you did in the first quarter against Port Adelaide, and then the last quarter's against Carlton and St Kilda, and it's just like, it's beautiful footy to watch. It's powerful.
Yeah.
A lot of goals are kicked. Is it just impossible to sustain that over four quarters for that perfect game?
Well, you could say that, or you could argue the point that St Kilda probably couldn't sustain their pressure on us.
Yeah.
Yep. So I think that's where our competitive advantage is. We can do it for a long time at the moment. And we're getting really good output from 18 guys on the field. And that's what it takes to beat good teams. And St Kilda did a really great job of, making us work really hard for that for three quarters. And
Carlton were a bit the same. Is what you're saying is that you were playing at a level Carlton and St Kilda were taking it up to you, but then when they dropped away, you just kept going, and then that's when the result comes late.
Yeah, and I imagine in their reviews, they would see things that they think they can change to help them stay in the game. For us, it was, as I said, really basics. Contested ball, clearance, our pressure around the footy is where we always start. And our ability to get the ball forward, especially in that third and fourth quarter, gave our forwards a chance, 6v6 in front of the ball. We back our forward line in most of the time.
But the other thing you're doing really well, and I read some figures around your first quarter starts and how the opposition is scoring against you in that first quarter. So 87 is the total of first quarter scores against you.
Yep.
The next best is 139.
Yeah.
So you are just really stifling their opportunities early. Is that a focus, or is that, again, that's just a process that you want to have for the whole game and just it's coming out in the way you start?
Yeah, it's definitely a focus. I think every team wants to start really well. We've been a team in the past that have done the opposite. We've come home strong. I think what we're doing really well at the moment is, we're starting games well, but we're getting those fourth quarters, three-quarter time, and coming together and just, we know that we can go again, and that we've got the energy and the fuel in the tank to put your foot down and make sure that we finish the game really strongly. And we speak about our will to win, and we've seen it from our leaders for huge parts of this year. Obviously, Steele was great on the weekend. Brody was huge in that last quarter, and guys are stepping up, and it seems that our teammates are following us, and we're really proud of the way we're finishing games.
Whatever it is, it's working, and Friday night against Sydney is going to be another challenge. We'll talk more about that after the break. And also, the issue with communication with umpires, which has become a topic in the last couple of weeks, certainly last night with the Dale Thomas situation at the Tribunal. We'll talk more about it. Taylor Adams with us in the inner sanctum of the Magpies on The Breakfast Club. He'll be back after this.
Access behind closed doors, The Breakfast Club's inner sanctum.
Taylor Adams in the sanctum today from the Magpies, and remarkably, he is in the frame to play Friday night against the Sydney Swans at the SCG to kick off round 10 of the AFL. That is quite unbelievable after ripping a tendon from the bone in his groin two and a half weeks ago. Still can't get over that, but Friday night's going to be big. Swans are back in town a bit. They've talked about grinding and seeing out a full quarter performance. Swans have done that the last couple of weeks and got some narrow victories. One of those against the Bombers at the SCG 2 weeks ago, and then down in Tassie on the weekend. Have you been paying any much attention yourself before you get to the opposition preview meeting, Tay, of the Swans?
Not a whole heap. I've watched a lot of footy over the last month, to be honest, but I think everyone knows what you get with the Swans. Their brand of footy, especially up at the SCG, bit of a smaller deck, and obviously there's talk of Buddy coming back in, who last year basically won the game against us. So, we're under no illusions. It's going to be a tight battle on Friday night. You can never rule them out, that's for sure.
You mentioned Ben Reid before the break and his performance against the Saints, which was very, very good. It has been for the last couple of weeks.
Yep.
Mason Cox is obviously in the frame as well to come back in Friday night. Can you play the three at the SCG? Of all the grounds in the competition, the three talls work at the SCG with the way you want to play?
I've said it before, probably not. I don't think so. That's a decision the coaches have to make, but I don't think you squeeze Brody Mychek, Coxie and Ben Reid into the same forward line.
Well, Brody's on fire as well.
Yeah, he's playing.
But he's unbelievable. But he has to be, doesn't he? And Ben Reid has to take his opportunities.
Good teams have this problem.
Yeah, and this is why good teams are good teams. So at the SCG, the smaller ground versus the MCG smaller ground, do you alter your game style, plan, all that sort of thing, or do you just roll out the same thing, but it's just a smaller ground?
We'll make really fine changes to probably more so our defense than anything. Our ball movement, we'll just let it go, which we do most of the time. Our defense will change a little bit, just kick-ins and that sort of thing. Especially with that new 15-meter rule, you almost get the ball to the halfway mark. So positioning around that'll change a little bit, but not a whole heap. We expect a lot of stoppages, which suits us, and they like that as well. So yeah, not too much.
And so do you go into the game knowing the way you like to play? I love playing the Swans. I love the smaller ground. So you get more excited about a game, thinking these are my conditions. A little bit like a small forward might like the wet because the ball's going to be on the ground a bit more. I don't know. But
yeah.
do you treat every game very much as the same?
No, I really look forward to all our interstate games because we only have five of them a year. So, and I love the SCG, great place to play. Love Sydney, so it's, I get really excited for a Friday night game at the SCG. It's always a huge clash, obviously quite a big rivalry, more so on the admin side of things and necessarily with the players. But two clubs that have been relatively successful that like to butt heads.
I know Huff wants to talk about the umpires and the like, but one question I wanted to quickly throw in was Devin Smith, who I know you're virtually best mates with,
and
news came through yesterday that he's out for the rest of the year. Do you immediately reach out to him?
Yeah.
Do you let him, because he doesn't play for your team, do you let it sort of settle a bit? What does your role as a friend play in someone like Devin who's, it's a huge blow to him and to the club?
Yeah, well, I read that on Monday, I think, first time I heard about that, and obviously knew that he was going through it might have been Sunday, difficulties with his knees that have been, it's been long term. Yeah, so I gave him a call on Sunday and spoke to him and, just wanted to get across what was actually happening, and he told me that it wasn't looking good and that surgery was likely. He's catching up with Julian Feller on Monday, and since then he's going to go under the knife, I guess, in the next week or so. And he was pretty optimistic. I think he was relieved about the fact that he's going to finally get this pain fixed that he's been dealing with for five or so years, the PCL injury. So, it's not ideal situation for him. He saw the positive side to it, and you just put your arm around him and make sure he's okay.
Did you see the positive side of Jaden Stevenson's torp? Did you enjoy it?
Oh, torp.
God, that's so, I loved it. The kid's got some flair. I love the way he plays. He's such a humble kid off the field, but on the field, he just gets this Superman cape that he can do anything, and he feels like he can do anything. So I love when he plays with that flair. And he's always in good positions and puts a lot of pressure on. So he buys into the team aspects of what we always speak about, and then there's a bit of me about him as well. So, that's
so
fine.
As long as there's a balance, it's okay.
Yeah, it's good balance.
Could you kick it that far?
God, no.
No?
No way, no.
Do you try in training?
No, I would never try. No. I would never try that. I do try at training, and it never gets close.
No, right.
Not with the tendon off the bone.
No, that's right.
Can I ask you, have you ever called an umpire a cheat, Taylor? Out loud to them?
No, I don't think I have. No, but I've probably said some quite offensive things to umpires, so I think I can understand that the AFL have kicked up a stink about this, and it's more than fair enough. And as players, we've got to be better. But I can also put myself in Daisy's shoes and know that you get really emotional and in the heat of the battle, it's sometimes things slip out. So he's apologised for that, and I'm fine with the AFL coming down really hard on players for saying offensive things to umpires.
So philosophically, one of the conversations, one of the frustrations that seems from fans and TV viewers, particularly when watching games, is that umpires are giving you warnings, are coaching the players, come back here, don't do that, just step back into this, you can't do that, stop holding, all that sort of stuff. People seem to be getting annoyed about that because they feel it's not their job. Do you philosophically like the fact that they communicate to you through the game and give you those little chances to straighten up? Or yeah. would you prefer that they were hard and fast to the rules, and if you get out of line any way, that you'll be penalised?
No, I love it. I love the communication that the umpires have with the players. They're human. They know the game really, really well. Obviously, the 666 rule is a new rule that we're all trying to get used to.
Mm.
So, but I love, you know, when Razor gives someone a pat on the back, or usually it's an ex-Brownlow medalist or someone like that. Dangerfield or a Martin or Fife or something. Just so he gets a bit of airtime. But I love it. I love the banter that umpires and players can have. And I think it's good for our game. I don't really receive too much coaching out there, so it's not something that I'm, always consciously aware of.
I've got two questions about it. Firstly, with the fine to Rampy and then the fine to Thomas, does that make you have a sort of analyse your own behaviour to umpires, or do you talk about in the locker room that, geez, we've got to sharpen our act a little bit here because of the fines?
I think guys will individually see that and go, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I don't want to be paying, $7,500 for calling him an umpire a cheat. That's not worth it. We always try to be respectful to our umpires. Now, they're in the rooms before every game. They come and shake all of our hands. They're people too. Although at times you get frustrated with them, the best way to react to that is by keeping your mouth shut and just get on with the game. And we've all learnt that in our own ways throughout our careers, and I'm still learning that.
And the second part of it is the miking up of umpires, which means that a lot of the things that you're saying out on the field in the heat of battle are being picked up and everyone's hearing it. Does that sit uncomfortably with you that you're exposed to that and that something could pick up, or is it bad luck, you've just got to be better?
Oh, a bit of both. It's, as I said, heat of the battle, we can get carried away, but I think, with TV rights and... what we're trying to do with our game, give the audience more access. I think it's a great thing. I think as players, we've got to be better, and we've got to be able to read situations, just keep your mouth shut and don't say anything offensive. It's pretty simple. Now the precedent's been set, so we all know what's happening now. I'd be very surprised if you saw it again this year.
Last one before I let you go. It might be a two-parter, but we'll see how we go. Travis Varko won't be playing this week. And the Indigenous round, which I'm sure he's quite upset about for his bump on Ed Phillips in the game on the weekend.
Yep.
Nathan Buckley was talking on radio yesterday about the laws, the way the laws have evolved, where players can absolve themselves the responsibility of protecting themselves because they get rewarded with free kicks if they get hit after they put themselves in vulnerable situations. Do you think that that is the case? Do you think that players now are more willing to put themselves in a vulnerable position because there is a reward, so to speak, with a free kick or the like?
Yes, I do. I do, yeah. I think players are starting to milk the fact that free kicks are being given out more freely.
And specifically for head-high contact.
And we saw it 2 or 3 years ago with the duck the head rule,
yep.
which we've, thank God, we've wiped that out. But yeah, I do. I think it's something that we've got to deal with. And it's really hard for the umpires to adjudicate, because how sure are you that a guy is playing for a free kick? Just puts more grain to the game. And with Travis's situation, I thought the MRP got that one wrong. For mine, he was going for the ball, and he went at the ball in the correct manner, protected himself, and the ball bounced the wrong way, and he got a player. But it's obviously really disappointing for him. Where it's Indigenous round, so Douglas Nicholls round this round, and we're wearing a jumper that has been designed in memory of his sister Maggie. So I spoke to him yesterday on the phone, and he was shattered. So it's not great timing, but. As you said, he'll watch it on TV, and hopefully he doesn't put his foot through the TV. That were his words.
But he did get to wear it the next week. You're wearing it 2 weeks in a row, aren't you, that jumper? So he gets a chance to wear it.
Yep, he'll get a chance to wear it.
Right,
yep.
Okay. Well, Friday night is the next challenge for the Magpies. Hopefully we see you there, Taylor. I'm looking forward to watching selection tomorrow night and finding out whether or not you are a part of the team. Friday night at the SCG, Swans v. the Pies. Go get them.
Thanks. Thanks, guys.
And keep punching too, Scotty Palmer style, at 12 Round Fitness in Port Melbourne. Go and say good day to Tay. If you're in the area, 24 to 8, we'll get to a break. All the news with Mark Stevens coming up from Channel 7 after this.